Hello, brothers and sisters, to anyone listening to the Sermon Podcast. This is the fifth and final installment in the forgiveness series called 77. In this sermon, we just give a very, very practical overview and approach to how to actually go about making an amends, how to actually seek restitution or reconciliation with a brother or sister, what maybe to do, some things to try to not do, and just to be really practical. It's a no-frills, nothing fancy kind of sermon, just a straightforward presentation of some ways that have been helpful, especially in my life, to begin practicing this spiritual discipline that Jesus gives us. There is a PDF that is linked. It's in Dropbox, and it should be in the description of this sermon on the podcast page. You can click that and find some of the handouts, the pamphlets. It's the same information, just a different format. But you can download that to use however it's helpful to you or to others. Feel free to use it in any way. And much has been written about this. And the tips and the guidelines and the PDF, that's all that they are. Just some really, really basic ways to begin thinking about this if you haven't had a lot of coaching or experience, if you will. There are an infinite number of caveats and exceptions in different circumstances. So it's not like a one-size-fits-all. Seek good counsel when you're doing this, and just be humble and prayerful about how you go about making amends and forgiving and all of those things. Above all, hope it has been a blessing to you. And like one of my members who came to me yesterday morning, who just pretty much yelled in the hall, "I'm a free woman." And she was just describing some of the work that we had been doing through this process and being able to lay down old unforgiveness and bitterness that she didn't even know she was carrying until it was gone. So may a sense of freedom and joy be yours as you continue through this hard work with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning again. So glad to have you with us. And Levi, there's reverb on this. If you're able to adjust that, I'll go to this mic. There we go. Glad that you all are here. Again, if you are visiting for the first time, we're thrilled to have you with us on this fabulous Groundhog's Day. And know it's the day you've all been waiting for. But it also is the last day of teaching around the forgiveness sermon series that we've been going through called 77. So if you didn't get one of these yellow sheets, what I wanted to do was try to compile what we've talked about thus far. And then this morning, there's no frills. There's nothing glamorous or fancy. It's just all very, very practical how to go about actually making amends and seeking reconciliation. Maybe some do's, what not to do's, things like that. I'm no expert on this, but I've messed up a lot, so I've had some practice. And this is what's been helpful to me. This morning, I've had the pleasure over the past couple of weeks as well to talk with folks who have come in and said what you've been talking about has been like digging in one of my old wounds, if you will. Like you're pressing on it. And I've got a bruise there. And so they'll come in to talk about it. And it's been amazing to see people's vulnerability and their openness to just lay open what this has been bringing up for them. And got to spend a couple hours with someone through this series. And this morning she ran in and I saw her in the hall and she said, "I'm a free woman." And I said, "Well, does your husband know?" And she said, no. I have joy. I have freedom. I have forgiveness in my heart for something that has bothered me for so long. So this whole entire series is not to dig into wounds, but to bring about healing, to bring about freedom, to set free the captives, and to experience a new kind of joy that is available to us in the life of God. Amen. Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from James 5, verse 16, and continuing in verses 19 and 20. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. And the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Please be seated. Did everyone get one of these? If you didn't, I've got a stack and they're starting at $5. Do I hear $5? We should have, David, you want to check? We may have some in the narthex back there. We didn't. We do have a bunch. Okay, great. David will be wandering around when you see him. He's the handsome, strapping lad who will be running around with the bulletins. Just put your finger up there, and he'll get you taken care of. Let me say a word of disclaimer, and then a prayer as we get going. I was thinking back through all my the spots in my life where I've had to make a lot of amends and seek reconciliation, and I've got these big notebooks that are full of this process. And so I got to thinking, if I share some of my experiences in that, especially when I'm trying to give my life to God and God's grabbed a hold of me at 18, a lot of my messing up and a lot of my mistakes and falling short was just in those little hoodlum kind of years, like 16, 17, when you're just up to no good and all of your ideas are bad and they're usually destructive. That's what I first was left with. And people said, if you are going to nurture a relationship with God, a growing relationship with God, that's going to help you continue forward in this and make you more and more into the likeness of Christ, more a new man, you're going to have to lay down that old stuff, and you're going to have to go and try and set it right as much as possible. And what I discovered then was that through my years, whenever there were mistakes that were made on my behalf, whenever I harmed someone, whenever I stole something, and there was a lot of that, whenever I destroyed property and relationships, there was as if a kind of like me tossing a brick into this backpack that I was wearing. And gradually it became like a 4x6 U-Haul trailer. And then it became kind of like a semi-rig. And what happened is, over the years, I didn't even know because why. I would just add it one brick at a time. And so I had no clue how much weight I was carrying until we started getting rid of it. And I was like the young lady this morning who came in and said, "I'm free! I'm free!" Well, she didn't know how enslaved she was, actually, until it was actually gone. And you literally feel lighter on your feet. And so we get used to carrying the baggage and the weight, not knowing how weighed down we are. So when I talk about some of my amends, if I mention some of them, I get concerned, like, well, what if there are other 16-year-olds in there? And like, well, see, it's not so bad. My pastor did it, right? And that would miss the point altogether. The reason I would share it is because I did discover that it was terribly destructive and harmful, not only to the people that involved, but also spiritually harmful to me in a way that I was taking on weight and a kind of slavery that I didn't know I was signing up for. So it was death-dealing. It was crippling. It was incredibly harmful. And I may be able to try to forget and pretend like it didn't happen and I'm not carrying that weight, but it's still there. So if I do end up sharing some of those, no, it's not like, well, see, it's not so bad, Mom. I mean, my pastor did that. Like, that is not at all the way in which I want to share any of my stuff. But just to put it out there, hopefully, if it's helpful to you. Let me say a prayer for us. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I pray for all of my brothers and sisters here. pray for them to have clear minds. I pray for them to have a vulnerability that's open to you, Holy Spirit, as you kind of move through our memories and move through our life and turn over stones and shine the lights in closets that we haven't looked in a long time. Help us to just sit still. And if you need to do the work of conviction, God, we want to lay ourselves open to that. We're not going to run away, and we're not going to squirm too much. But reveal to us the work that you'd have us to do. Give us courage. Give us a sense of abandonment to give ourselves to a practice that is risky, a practice with no guarantees, but one that Jesus again and again and again lays out so clearly, which is to forgive and to amend, to be ambassadors of reconciliation, like Paul writes. May this be a quickening time. May this be a time where the teachings of the prior weeks come to a head and really give us clarity. We pray for our youth group as well and the youth leaders who are not with us. We pray that their time together has been so encouraging and strengthening and empowering and equipping. We pray for their safe travels home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I chose to read from James this morning because what James ends up doing is oftentimes if you study Paul or and James and put them in contrast, Paul will say things like we are saved by faith, you know, by grace through faith. And then James will end up saying we are saved by faith and works, works being the evidence of the faith. And show me your faith and I will show you my faith by my works. And so some people would say, is this a contradiction? Are they contradicting one another? And what most people rightfully understand is that what James is helping later Christian communities to understand is that when you and I experience salvation, when we are captivated and grabbed by God, and we come into this new arena of life and begin revolving around the person and the work of Christ, what happens and what has to happen if our faith is real, if our faith does take root, is that it will be evidenced by a changed life. And so what James is not saying is that you are saved by your works. He is saying you are saved by faith. And what is the evidence of that 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, a transformed life? That you and I are actually putting into practice the things Jesus told us to do. And so here in the end of the letter, James is writing to the community, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. And then he goes on in the end to describe a kind of community where people who wander away are brought back by one another. We are like the shepherd who are out seeking the lost sheep, and we are trying to win back people into the community of faith. If you have strayed away, come back into the fold. So James essentially just says, we've talked a lot about forgiveness the past 4 weeks, and here we are in the fifth week. We've talked about it. The first week we laid the foundation for forgiveness, which is that we forgive because we have been forgiven, right? Pull out your yellow sheet. And in the this is just something I wanted to give you something to take away. In the very first page, if it says 77, Forgiveness and Reconciliation Sermon Series. It's just the overview of the week by week. If you want to go back and listen to one again, you can see the dates. They're all available online. And so we forgive because we have been forgiven. So that because that becomes the centerpiece, that Christ's work on the cross has reconciled us to God, Jesus is saying, you've got to learn to go and do likewise. If you are saying this now has become the focal point of your life and you are following me, then where did I walk but to the cross? And I laid down my life, I sacrificed, I risked, I was vulnerable. Do likewise to others. So that is the basis for our forgiveness. And we went through then the next 2 weeks. How do we practically start that? By praying for our enemies, like literally getting a list and going through and praying for people that we can hardly stand. Even I gave the example of kneeling when I first started the practice and would say, God, I don't mean any of this, but somebody told me to do it. And I would start praying for this person as creatively as possible. And then the next week we talked about praying with shameless audacity to really, truly ask God if we are struggling with hard, difficult cases of forgiveness, to get desperate. God says, almost like bang down the door, annoy me with your audacity of asking for what you need. So get desperate in asking God to help you with forgiveness. And then last week we talked where Jesus lays out in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you're liable to judgment. If you insult, if you know all these different things, he elevates anger. And then he says, if you are coming to the altar with a gift, do you remember? And he says, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, do what? What did he say to do? Lay down the gift, go back, make it right, reconcile, then come back and offer your gift. And so this week is normally Holy Communion Sunday. And as part of trying to really put this into application, what we did is to say, we're going to wrap up the sermon series with one more sermon, one more opportunity to teach and lay this out really practically. And then instead of doing communion this week, we will, in a sense, will figuratively lay down our gift at the altar. And this coming week, the challenge will be this. Go and reconcile with that person that's been coming to your mind every time you've sat in here this series. Who's the person that you've been trying to avoid? Don't say the preacher, but I mean, for some of you, you can't. But who's the person that comes to mind? Where is that relationship that has gotten sideways and you don't even know what happened, but it's there? Who is that old friend that the relationship has gone cold? And one part of you says, I'm just fine with it. But the other part of you says, I really miss the relationship we had. Who is the person that you've been angry at? The challenge this week, the response to the sermon at the end, will be to, we've got these little cards. And some of you are saying, that's corny. Well, that's fine. But it is very, very practical. Unbelievably practical. It's like a commitment card. And in a watermark, it says, outstanding. And not like you've done an exemplary job, but a debt outstanding. It says your name, your brother or sister that's come into your mind, the person to guide and support you with prayer in making this commitment this week. Then it says today's date. The next appointment to seek initial contact. In other words, pull out your phone and look at your calendar and say, when am I going to send this person an email? When am I going to call them and say, can we catch up? Can we get together? And then you'll write at the very end, if you need to go through all these different steps, the appointment scheduled to seek reconciliation. And so at the end of the service, literally the response will be, take action in this, because it's difficult to do. And those of you who have done it before, you know how difficult it is to do. But that's the response. This thing is so rock bottom, practical and basic. No frills, no camera works, no smoke and mirrors. Just practical reconciliation commanded to us by Jesus Christ. So on the second page, just look with me real quick. Because you're asking, well, how do I actually do this? How do I actually go about making an amends? How do I actually go about seeking to reconcile? And at the top, it says prerequisites for seeking reconciliation. Prerequisites. In other words, make sure you've done these things, at least as a good starting point, to help you get rolling. The first heading is forgiveness. Have you prayed for them regularly? Because more than likely, you may also have anger towards them. Pray with them or pray for them. Get desperate in your prayers. And then I said, commit to act as if you have forgiven, which is not like I'm going to pretend like it's okay. It is to take the actions of forgiveness even when you don't feel it in your heart. What do I mean by that? Well, we get some examples. That's a good start. Don't cheer against them. Do you ever have that happen? Like when somebody you can't stand, you find out some bad news and you're like, yes. Come on now. Come on. Don't lie. Don't gossip about them, even if it's out of concern. Catch yourself when you're mentally rehashing the scenario and begin praying for them instead. Treat them kindly when you see them. Give them the benefit of the doubt in future interactions. In other words, it doesn't even mean you have to feel any of that. Those are initiatives that you can take to act and commit in a way of forgiveness. And then here's the tough part. This is some of the work that I got to do with our sister who came and was saying, I'm free. We wrote down all the stuff that this person had done. And then we said, let's get honest about our own mistakes. And here's the hard part. Here's the hard part. Imagine the person in question was a perfect angel. On a sheet of paper, write down your own behavior toward them. Were you inconsiderate? Were you judgmental, harsh, controlling, selfish, etc.? What's your own behavior? And see, at this point, the excuse, they started it, no longer applies. We take full responsibility for our behavior regardless of what they have done. Then there's a couple points about don't run from guilt or remorse. Then there's warning. You can check that out. And then also be prepared to actually amend or actually change your harmful behavior. And I gave you this example. If, for example, you're making amends for basically being a jerk, then also work towards correcting the behavior that makes you one. Can I get an amen? Like so we don't go in and say, I'm really sorry about that. So let's just let bygones be bygones. I'm going to continue to operate in the same ways of behavior that are harmful to you, but we'll pretend it's fine. Because the other person, what they want is not necessarily, gosh, this happens with your spouse all the time, right? Is that, oh, okay, there she is all the way back there. Hey, honey. It's tough, isn't it, man? Because you know you want to say sorry, but you know you're going to do it again, and you don't even mean to. You're going like, what do I do? And but in relationships, we want to amend the behavior, not just excuse it away, right? So make sure you've counted the cost. And I said, before you're about to make an amend. So these are prerequisites. We've worked through these things. Before you're about to make an amends. So you are on your way. Remember, you're there to amend your mistakes, not theirs. I said, lower your expectations. Don't set yourself up to think that in 5 minutes, the two of you will be singing Kumbaya and enjoying s'mores together. The person may not receive your attempt at reconciliation, even if just for now, that is okay. It often takes time. Has it taken time for you to get to that point? Yes. Continue to pray for them and for another opportunity to do so. And I said this, don't expect reciprocation. Don't set yourself up because these are the tricky things when you're saying, all right, as honest as I can be, I see 35% of it's me, but gosh, the other 65, it's definitely them, right? I mean, okay, well, that's fine. I'm going to make amends for my 35%. And when I go and do that, I don't get to talk about their 65%, nor do I get to go in expecting that they will reciprocate and say, oh, gosh, I'm just so glad you did it. This is great. I mean, I've missed you so much. Give me a hug. You know, it may not happen. And that's all right. And this is about your committing to being a forgiving and reconciling person. And the freedom in this is that it doesn't matter what the other person does or doesn't do. You become a free person in Christ. And you can forgive. You can seek to reconcile. You can be vulnerable and put yourself out there knowing that you have tried to be faithful in this work. So I've got some circumstantial tips for reconciliation on the next page. And some of you may disagree and have had some different experiences with this. And I'm okay with it. I mean, that's completely fine. This will be good, hopefully at least good food for fodder, or is if that whatever the expression is, give you some conversation. I mean, for me, what I've learned in some of these things is that when I go to someone, I used to be coached to go and say, I'm here and this is my part. And they would say, don't say sorry. They already know you're sorry, Justin. I'm like, whatever. Say you're wrong. I'm like, oh, why is that? Why does that hurt even more? But don't say your part, say your mistakes, because what it kind of implies is I'm here for my part. Not to mention yours. You know, I mean, it puts it out there, but just take responsibility for my own mistakes. So I was coached later on, just say my mistakes. It doesn't set them up to, you're like kind of like a reciprocal thing. Like, and what about your part? You know, anytime now. But so there's some things like this. I said, if you've stolen something, in my old life, the old Justin, it was hard for me to go in anywhere and not come out with things I had not paid for. And God had to like kill that within me. But it was so second nature to me. Like I almost didn't even have a conscience about it. And God has had to do so much work in that. But I had lists and lists of places where I had done that in people's homes and stores. And as I'm always talking about this, I have to relay something that I was told to do as part of my amends. When I walked into a department store, 20 years old maybe, and I walked to the customer service and said, may I speak with one of the managers? Well, okay, just a moment. They came back out and I just said, between the years of such and such and such and such, you know, more or less, I said, it is estimated that I've probably stolen over $2,000 worth of merchandise. And I'm here to make that right. At first they don't know what to do with that, right? There's no button on their cash register where they're like, $2,000 stolen merchandise. I mean, it's really confusing and baffling. And then they say, just 1 minute, we'll be right back. And then your blood pressure really starts to go up and you're like looking for police, you know. And in this particular situation, the woman came out and said, let's take a walk. And so we're walking through like the women's section. And she's just saying, look, we don't have a way to correct that in our inventory. We're blown away that you would come in here and do this. We thank you for your honesty. And we are so thankful that you appear to be a very different man today. I said, I am, and God has changed me. And she said, whenever you speak about this, especially if you're speaking to kids, will you share this incident as part of your testimony? That we here have said, thank you for trying to amend and reconcile this. Thank you for your honesty. And in doing so, just tell of this story. That it took courage to get up and do this, but we forgive you. So I've continued to do my part there. There you have that one. But I would have many, many of those. I had whole streets in Nashville, listen, where I would have to go and flyer mailboxes saying, if you lived here between the years of such and such and your mailbox disappeared, I might be responsible for that. You're saying, well, that's a federal offense. Yes, that was also very scary. And so I would have folks, like I would have opportunities to go and amend things. Or you'd say, how would you ever make those things right? I've pulled into driving down the street and saw someone's mailbox that was laying on the ground and just flew in. And try to explain, like, as a way of paying this forward, I would like to repair your mailbox. They're going, what in the world is going on? Don't worry about it. Let me just do this. And just try and amend opportunities when you're given the chance. I had folks, and this is a small thing, but they said for years I was such a miser to my servers and my waitresses, and now I am particularly generous. Why? But they can't make it up to those folks over the years, but now they are over generous in how they participate in that exact same activity. In the little second portion, I said, owing money you've hope they've forgotten about. First, they haven't forgotten about it. and you've probably made it a pretty uncomfortable situation. But did you forget about it? Nope. It's your debt, so pay it back. And one of the ones that's still my go-to when things have just gotten awkward, who's had one of those recently? It's just awkward. Something happened, and they would say, well, what happened? And you're going, I'm not even sure. Anybody who's with me? Thank you. Three people. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. And so you're saying, well, what do you do? I honestly don't even know what happened. And I've tried to take into practice something that I just call like clearing the air or extending the olive branch. Just a gesture to try and close back that relationship. Because when it gets awkward, here's what happens the next time. You show up and you go, wonder if they're going to act awkward. They're acting awkward. I knew it. I knew they were going to act awkward. And then you're acting awkward, and they're going, oh, I knew he was going to act awkward. Oh, all my suspicions are, you know, and it just begins to play off itself, so the distance between the two of you gradually grows. And it is an effort just simply to close that gap back down. There's a section to an estranged ex or infidelity. And then we have to yourself. It's a big one for some folks. To the deceased, how do you reconcile and forgive someone who has already passed away? And someone on the way out last week said, you need to speak about that. How do you reconcile with someone who is already dead? And I've heard people say, they haunt me from the grave. They reach up out of the grave and are still tormenting me. It's this power of unforgiveness. And there are ways to go about doing that. I've seen writing letters to be incredibly helpful. And I would recommend to do so in the company of a trusted friend or mentor. It helps. With your family, get counsel, take time, pray on it. Understand the scope of your harm and the depth of your commitment to change what are likely long-term habits and behaviors. I said amends you cannot make because you don't know how to contact them. Be ready and prepared if ever given the opportunity to reconcile. On the backside, and we'll come back to the very last one. On the backside, I had some general tips when actually making an amends. If these are helpful to you, please just look through those. And again, I said the language of my mistakes has been helpful. I was wrong rather than I'm sorry. How can I make this right? Or will you forgive me? And then after that, ask if is there any other way that I've caused you harm? Then be quiet and listen. And I said, in those situations, what we have to try to do is not cause more harm. So someone you're going to try and reconcile with may be angry about the situation still and be coming at you with venom and anger. Bite your tongue. Just be committed to at least, if you cannot reconcile that, at least contribute no more to the harm. Thank them for their time and continue praying for them. Hope for another opportunity to do so. And I said, if you're given the blessing to do so and reconciliation occurs, pray together. And then here's another, just this last piece. I think in our culture, for how many of you is it much easier to give a gift than it is to receive one? Likewise, the same dynamic, it is actually pretty uncomfortable sometimes to receive an amends. Just like you've been given a gift, you feel vulnerable. And what will happen is you've been stewing over something and someone comes up and says, this has happened. I was wrong for it. Will you forgive me? How can I reconcile? And you're going, oh, I don't even know what you're talking about. It's fine. And your spouse is like, you've been staying awake for the past 5 nights about this situation. Receive their amends well. If it has been hurtful to you, be emboldened to gently say, thank you so much. What happened, it really did hurt. And you're doing this is a huge blessing. In other words, be honest about receiving it. Sometimes the person can come and make an amends and they feel like a fool because you're acting like you don't even know what they're talking about. But they're almost positive you know what they're talking about. And they're leaving going, well, that was weird. I guess I made a bigger deal about it. and you were given the opportunity to really be vulnerable with one another. So if you're given the opportunity to receive an amends, do so with humility and graciousness. And let me, before we come into this time of response, where we'll have a song, there'll be no lyrics, you can stay seated. But I invite you, if you feel so emboldened, to come forward, because this is going to take a lot of courage for some of us who haven't really practiced at it. It takes you got to just jump, which is the sermon title, just do it. Just go ahead and jump. Make a commitment to do it and just do it. And so during this response time to this very glamorous sermon, but just totally practical, hopefully, there's a card up here. And I would just ask that you, during the song, come forward and grab one of those. If the person beside you doesn't want to, grab one for them. But grab it. Sit with it. You can kneel with it here. But make a commitment to yourself to step in this direction. And for many of you, this is just an oomph to do what you've been practicing for years. And you know it is such a blessing to do so. But let me just go one step deeper as we're preparing for this time of response. The circumstantial tips, the very last one I didn't cover. I said broken relationships at church. Review Matthew 18, 10 through 17 to remember how important reconciliation is for Jesus. As fellow Christians, we may even be doubly responsible to this task of reconciliation within our own community. If you've been hurt, please don't quickly throw in the towel and leave to go to another church. Please don't do that. Have courage. Work it out. Stay committed. If you're a member here, you've said, this is my church. And as a tangent, one of the harmful side effects, you know, of having a church on every corner is I don't have to stay here and do the hard work of relationships with you people. Why would I? I can just pop down the street and find another church. You see, so we have so many of them that they're actually, it keeps us from knowing that we want to call this our community. We're going to stay committed here, even if that means going through the hard work. And I said this, love one another enough to do the hard and good and transformative work of Christ's followers. And if it's even a possibility that you've run someone off, even if you believe they're overreacting or misinformed, go to them with a humble and contrite spirit in the hopes of reconciliation and winning back a brother or sister. In doing so, God truly rejoices with you. And why would we do this? Well, first of all, for us, when we carry these burdens, like I said in the very beginning, we become so weighed down and we're not even sure how much weight we're carrying until it's gone and we feel like we could fly. There's also for the other person, of course, for your relationship, your integrity in that relationship and the person that you call a brother or sister in Christ. Is learning to give and to receive and be humble and ask forgiveness and seek forgiveness and try to amend your behavior and work out this process of growing closer together in Christ, but also for God's church. If you have a heart, there are the different ventricles going in to the heart, right? Is that what they're called? The vessels, the ventricles. And is a ventricle just a big vessel? Who knows? Sure, we'll go with that. All right, so you've got different arteries going into the heart that feed and give nourishment and give life to the heart. Now, what if 95% of the vessels are doing just fine and 5% start to become clogged? And you're doing okay, right? Or wrong? And what can still happen? That there's a heart attack, there's damage done to the whole of the organ because of one of the vessels, one of the inlets, one of the sources of life. And brothers and sisters, we are one body. We're different members, we're individual members, we're individual Christ followers that make up one whole. And you are, in a sense, a vessel of this body. And the question Jesus would ask is your vessel nourishing the body, or is it clogged up with old stuff and old resentment and old unforgiveness? Get free, brothers and sisters. And it's not just for you or for the other person, but for the life and vitality of an entire community, that you and I have the opportunity to either hinder or to bless. And so as new Christians come into our community, what will they find? Will they find a whole and healthy heart, or a healthy heart that is half harmed and half... What will we find here? And the answer will lie within the collection of all of us as individuals. During this response, just take a moment and consider who's coming to your mind. Who have you avoided? Who is it time to go rebuild that bridge with? Be emboldened so much that you please come forward and grab one of these cards, and you can grab one for your spouse. But be prayerful, courageous, discerning about how to respond to what Jesus has been telling us to do. Amen and amen.